But we get the hour underway by getting on board the telephone line and welcoming back our friend Ty Anderson from 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, how are we doing?
Doing well, thank you. How are things going with you?
Very well, very well. Just hanging out here. We got a game on tap. It's Halloween. It's a great day. It's a great night.
All right, so I'll ask the obvious question first. The heck is wrong with the Bruins?
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question right now for everybody involved. $3 million question for Jim Montgomery, I think, to be honest.
Mm.
Just a team that, you know, honestly, is just not gelling right now, 5-on-5. And I think, you know, you can deal with a team not having their A game at 5-on-5 play. But when that's the case, you have to get something greater than that, you know, from your power play and your PK in goal. And they got it on Tuesday, I thought. I thought Korpisalo was great, but tough to win when you score zero goals, as it turns out. And so I just think their 5-on-5 is lacking, and their power play and PK have not been up to their standards. And then when you add that all together, you get what you get right now, which is a disjointed, disconnected-looking hockey team, and I think that's what the Bruins have right now.
And I thought for sure, and I'm guessing you felt the same way, that after that that terrific win against Toronto, that was going to spark something.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely should have been a building block for your foundation, right? I think you did a lot of things well in that game. I thought out of the gate, their defense was really strong. Now, it lacked at times, sure, but that's Toronto. They're a great team. They're going to make their push offensively, so you expect that. I thought that Swayman made some big-time stops when he needed to. I thought that, you know, the mental aspect of overcoming two separate deficits, I thought was important for this team to prove that they can come back when they're down in games. And again, you beat a divisional rival. I mean, that should always count for a little bit something extra, you know, from your mental standpoint versus in the standings. And that just didn't play out that way. They went right back to sort of the same struggles that they've had Tuesday night against Philly, just not potent enough offensively, not creative enough offensively. And you know, it's kind of a mess right now, but to let that kind of game on Saturday night kind of fall by the wayside and not turn it into something greater, huge misstep, I think, for the Bruins, and not the first time we're talking about this. You know, when they win in Colorado, I kind of felt the same way.
Mm.
That was a good win. It was a gutsy win and didn't play out the way it should have played out. So they're still looking for their game, shockingly. You know, 10 games in, not used to saying that about this team. Usually they start strong and they find their identity early, but this year it hasn't been the case.
Now, I thought watching the first two games early in the season with the Panthers that they just looked pretty flat against them, but that hasn't seemed to be the case as much lately. They sure look like they're playing hard.
Yeah, I do think, like, and this is where I think it becomes a real gray area, right? Because a lot of people online are saying, you got to make a coaching change, you got to do this, you got to do that. Like, I think they are playing for their coach. I just think that their roster is kind of limited right now.
Mm.
You know, they move on from DeBrusque, they move on from Heinen, they move on from JVR, and they don't really bring in anybody to replace them from a scoring standpoint. Yes, they found money here with Cole Koepke, who has been a tremendous surprise for them. 6 points through 10 games. I think he's tied for, I think, the second most points in the team, I want to say. So he's been great, but, like, they didn't bring in anybody to sort of offset those departures, right? And I think that's been a problem here. Is that the roster is what it is, and they're built to win games 3-2, 2-1, but some nights, as we've learned, it's hard for them to score those two goals, or those three goals for that matter. And so I think they're playing hard. I just think their roster has such obvious limitations offensively right now.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Have there been any fairly consistent positives with the team in the early going?
I think you could say their goaltending has been pretty solid, 5-on-5. I think they're taking too many penalties, and that's taxing them extra on the PK, which is where they've had some breakdowns and some collapses. But I think overall, Swayman has looked pretty good after missing almost all of camp. He can be better. I think he will be better. But it hasn't been a disastrous start in that regard, in those regards, in terms of the goaltending play. I think their defense is getting a little bit better in terms of limiting high danger opportunities and breakdowns in front of their own net. I think that they've been better in that regard. So those are two things that you knew would turn and have turned in their favor in recent games. Their PK has been getting better. That's got to continue. So, like, I would say that in their own zone, they're getting better. It's a really hard way to try to win in 2024, to build from your net out and your defense out, and you don't get the goals at the other end. I think that's where they are right now. Like, that's where it becomes hard to sort of build off that.
Well, they begin a two-game road trip tonight against the Hurricanes. So what kind of challenges will Carolina throw at them?
Yeah, Carolina's kind of similar here in the sense that their 5-on-5 scoring has been a little stagnant out of the gate. But Carolina's goaltending has been phenomenal. Rod Brind'Amour's clubs, as we know, always play with pace. They play with energy. They're really good at hemming you into their own zone and really going to work, either drawing penalties or just their cycle game. Fantastic. So that's something to watch there. On the back end, they lost some guys. They lost Brady Shea. They lost Brett Pesce, a UNH guy who's now departed. He went to New Jersey in the offseason, but they brought back Shane Gostisbehere, who's been really good for them out of the gate here so far. Really, he's a power play specialist, but he's been effective out of the gate. He's got a really underrated shot, in my opinion. So their defense still has some weapons, you know, and then you look at who else they have. You know, they have Brent Burns still. They have Jacob Slavin. They have Dmitry Orlov, you know, former Bruin. So they got a lot of guys that can hammer the puck from the back end. So that's going to be something to watch tonight if you're the Bruins, for sure, just given the way their defense can activate.
And then take on the Flyers again. And despite what we saw in the last game with them, the Flyers have not been off to a great start this year.
No, they're in their multi-year rebuild right now. Tortorella has them buying into his system for sure, though. You look at that game against Boston on Tuesday. They blocked 28 shots, which was the most an opponent has blocked against Boston in about 5 years. So they play hard. They play aggressive. But you can attack their goaltending. I mean, Sammy Ersson, he's a tough spot for him. You know, the Carter-Hart controversy really kind of forced him to be a starting goaltender, and I don't think he's ready for that yet. He can be one, but he's not ready to be it full-time. But you've seen it out of the gate here. He has he entered play on Tuesday with an .872 save percentage. So you can beat him. It's just you got to get through their layers. And right now, this is a Tortorella coach club, the way they play with their defensive layers, for sure.
It sure looks like, and it's early still, 10, 11 games into the season, but it looks like there's a lot of parity in the East.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. And sort of you look at some of the teams here that have been trying to break through for a while. Let's just look in the division for the Bruins, right? Like, you look at Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo. These guys have been trying to build a contender, you know, a feisty kind of team that can get into the playoffs as a wild card or maybe third in the division and try to, you know, make some noise that way, generate some momentum for their franchises. They are, you know, they're looking like they can compete. They can be a thorn in the team's side. I think maybe more so than they were a year ago, 2 years ago in some cases. So they're in it until they're not, right? And I think the messaging from those front offices has been, we want to build a winner. We're going to compete. We're going to try to make the playoffs. And I think right now, like, they're not perfect, obviously. No team is perfect, but they are making pushes out of the gate. You can see kind of the promise with some of their players and some of their rosters. And then you look at the Metro Division. You know, Columbus deals with the tragedy of Johnny Gaudreau passing away. And you look at their roster, though, like, they got a lot of young talent. You know, they have Cole Sillinger. They have Kent Johnson. They have Sean Monahan playing well. Then they have some guys like, you know, Kirill Marchenko, who I think is underrated, really. And you look at the start he's off to. I think he has 11 points through 8 games, I want to say. So they could make things interesting, right? I think that's the biggest thing is that in the Eastern Conference, I think it's really kind of a toss-up once you get beyond the Rangers and the Panthers. I think those are the 1 and 2 in the conference. But then after that, it's kind of a coin flip, you know, any given night, I would say.
And out west, are the Jets as good as they have looked out of the gate?
So I am a notorious Jets denier in the sense that I think that they play Connor Hellebuck too many games during the regular season. And then late in the year, in the playoffs, you kind of see his game slip. If they can find a way to manage Connor Hellebuck's starts so that he's not starting 65 games and then going right into the playoffs, I think they can be dangerous. I like their grouping. It's just I got to see it in the playoffs. I just feel like we talk about this team a lot nationally where they can break through, they should break through. And then every year they look gassed in April and May. And so if they can manage that, and if they can get in and be in a good spot, yeah, maybe they can do it. But I always worry about the way that they play Connor Hellebuck, who we know locally played at UMass Lowell, a great goaltender, one of the best in the world, in my opinion. But games played, I think it's hard to be a workhorse goaltender these days. It's just that the schedules are too tight. You have a lot of 3-5s, 4-6s, 5-9s. It's kind of hard to play 60 games and then go on a deep playoff run. But right now, they look great. I mean, they suffered their first loss the other night to Toronto, but like their power play is clicking at 40-something percent. Obviously, they have the goaltending and they have the defense. So if that continues, they're going to be a real formidable challenge for anybody out west, I would say. I still lean Dallas, though. I believe in Dallas. Their roster, their depth, their goaltending, I think is fantastic. So I'm still Dallas, but Winnipeg is making me rethink things here in October for sure.
Good stuff as always. Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Ty, great talking with you again. We appreciate you making time for us. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Happy Halloween.
Thanks. You too. Ty Anderson here on Downtown talking Bruins. As we make our way home, it's 15 minutes after the hour on a Thursday afternoon. Yes, indeed, it is Halloween.